What, you dare me
what,
to make
you,
it about
dare
feminism?
Me to make it about feminism?
Because I can make it about
because
feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
You are now listening. You are now listening to the Feminist Bar Podcast.
What is good? What is popping? What the fuck is going on? Welcome to the Feminist Bar Podcast with your host, Tina Tuimaka. And thank you for your time. Thank you for joining. Thank you for coming on here. I already know, like, even before I have started finishing off and giving you guys this episode, that I'm going to make the title quite spicy. So if you're here, I know why you're here, you nasty motherfucker. Kidding. Can we just actually briefly address something, which is the fact that when I started this podcast, it was not connected to any of the Feminist Voices Zimbabwe projects. In fact, there actually were no projects going on at the time. And the fact that, like, now there's kind of like a knowledge exchange, information exchange, like a synergy between, like, this podcast and the organization. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm being so unhinged, because at the beginning we would talk about anything, we would be swearing, living our lives, laughing, being silly as fuck. And then now it's like, oh my goodness, like, are the donors going to be listening to this? Oh my goodness, is this topic not going to be serious enough? And, you know, I've actually had, like, people on Twitter respond to, like, snippets or videos, and of course they were being haters, just talking about, like, oh, like, your demeanor is, like, not serious enough, like, for the stuff that you're talking about. And I'm like, that's insane. Like, women can't even be happy. Like, women cannot even express, like, cannot be animated in, like, stuff, because it's like, oh, like, you're doing too much, you're too much. I don't know. All this to say, I am constantly trying to remind myself not to worry about that, not to worry too much about language and semantics and respectability politics, because at the end of the day, like, even if I come on here and I use, like, the most prim and proper English ever, we are all still, like, multifaceted human beings. Like, some of you might probably be, like, sitting in your houses, like, smoking a joint of marijuana while listening to this. Some of you might be choking back, like, 16 fucking shots while listening to this. And you know what? Like, that's okay at the end of the day. Like, we are multifaceted. We go to work. We kick the patriarchy in the balls. And then we come home and we do unhinged shit and we yell into our mics because we have podcasts. Like, that's just what we do. So, yeah, just a constant reminder to anyone who is ever worried about this. And I think I've spoken about this on here, like, several times, like, for those of you who are blocking your bosses on your WhatsApp status, or, like, you know, who have social media and, like, completely anonymous names because you're afraid of, like, your employers watching you or seeing you and stuff like that. And I think, you know, maybe I'll talk a little bit about this when I have the podcast episode coming up about what I've learned being in the international nonprofit space. But I think if we were all a little less rigid and if we all took ourselves a little less seriously, we would be having a lot of fun. Because, yeah, we high-key be taking ourselves so fucking serious. Like, taking yourself so fucking serious, like, you'd be like, oh my god, like, TikTok is so silly because I'm such an adult. Here's your certificate, ma'am. Okay. Enough. You've heard what I had to say. So again, welcome to this episode. As you know, we have been talking a lot about sexual pleasure, sexual health, sexual emancipation, freeing ourselves from the shackles of patriarchy, embracing our sexuality for what it is, taking our sexual rights, and just unpacking that a little bit together. And that's been so lovely and so interesting, hearing how similar many of our experiences are, and we're all kind of experiencing the world in these very, like, similar parallel ways. And hopefully by just sharing our stories and talking about it, we get to see how fucking ridiculous patriarchy has been in trying to subjugate us and trying to remove I guess the human part of us that is sexual, making sex for procreation so men can enjoy it but women cannot. And those are just some of the things that we talk about on here. The fact that there are huge knowledge gaps and there's so many stories we don't know or haven't shared about our sexuality, even as queer people. And that's some of the stuff that we want to do. And as we get into some of these stories, like, again, I am filled with gratitude and, you know, so thankful for those of you who have shared these stories with everybody else and those of you who then volunteer to voice them over. And I just think it's so cool because you're listening to the story and it sounds so human. It sounds like it could be literally your friend. It sounds like it could be your neighbor, your classmate. And in so many instances, like, many of you are like my friends and people that I interact with constantly, people that I know, people that I've known for a while, some that I'm just meeting. So either way, it's amazing. And we're just here like building this awesome community. And I couldn't be more grateful. So let's fucking get into it. What did I ask you guys? I asked you guys to tell me about how you found or came upon your sexual empowerment. Whether it was something that you went through that you later reflected on to be like, this ain't right, I don't like this. Whether you had such a terrible sex experience that you're like, surely this cannot be it. Whether you started realizing things bit by bit, like I talk often and I've written about this in my book, that my personal feminist awakening was not something that happened all at once. Like, it happened bit by bit and then all at once, you know? So I was happening upon all these little facts, all these little things kept happening to me. And one of those things for me was definitely sex. I speak a lot about how sex has radicalized me, and I think so many people can relate. And, you know, possibly this was happening at a time that maybe I wasn't, you know, critically thinking about like feminist theory and, you know, deconstructing like patriarchy, etc. But I was just a young woman living in the world, existing and experiencing men in life and society in a way that I felt was really incredibly unfair. And one of the examples of that was just like going to uni and starting out, I guess, the sex life and becoming a sexually active person and yet never orgasming. I was having sex for about 3 years before I ever reached an orgasm, right? And that's the case for so many women. So getting into these sexual experiences, leaving unsatisfied, leaving unseen, leaving misunderstood, and wondering why it was okay for the next person to just completely not give a fuck, exist as they are, where I have to show up and be my best. I have to show up with the Meg Thee Stallion knees. I have to show up with the pussy that smells like flowers. And men just get to be, and they just get to show up. And this was also happening around the time that, you know, I was figuring out my sexuality. So kind of transitioning into like dating and sleeping with women and like other queer folk from the space where I was just like completely unsatisfied and completely unhappy. I just started to question so many things. And of course, it ended up just being like a thread. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you pull a thread and now like it's completely fucking endless. That was basically what that looked like for me. And I started asking myself, like, what do I like in bed? What turns me on? Why can't I say it? How can I say it? What is it about my body that makes me feel this particular shame? Or what is this shame connected to? And it's just like, how am I going to deconstruct that in my life? And as I started to take ownership of my sex life, I also just kind of started like walking into this feminist awakening. I know that for a lot of people, it happens the other way around, where you have this feminist awakening and then it seeps into your sex life and your friendships. And I would say that for me, it started within my sex life, which, you know, I wish it wouldn't have been that way because, centering men. But at the same time, like, I'm grateful that it happened at all. And I accept it in whatever way that it came because, again, you know, now I'm having amazing sex in my life. Yeah, really fucking saved me from a lifetime of horrible orgasms and potential dick cheese is gonna give me a yeast infection. I'm kidding. You know what? I'm not gonna edit that out. I'm on a high today. High energies. It is what it is. So yeah, I asked you guys to share your stories of sexual empowerment. Just your experiences. And I think that this is really important because we talk a lot about like wanting to enforce some of these like fundamental rights. I know right now, like, I'm speaking from like a law candidate perspective, but anyway, we talk about like these human rights approaches and systems and institutions and legal frameworks and policy frameworks that should enforce, encompass, and fully understand, recognize, and acknowledge like our sexual rights. And something that I love to, you know, continue to make people aware of is that this work that we do is multi-level. So as much as we would love to continue advocating in these spaces for these things, even amongst ourselves, within our community, here on this podcast, in our day-to-day lives, in our interpersonal relationships, we want to continue advocating for those things, because after all, women empowerment and feminism are two different things. And what we're doing right now in this episode is a little bit of both. But this is really just about empowerment, and this is what these stories are about. And I know I have conversations with you guys constantly about some of these things in the DM, and I'm really hoping that by hearing some of these stories, you know that you're not alone, that that conversation that you and I had 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, yesterday, you know, about something within your sex life, something about your body, something about yourself and your empowerment and the way that you're interacting with people sexually or like within intimacy, like, you are not alone. And yeah, so here goes some of these stories about how we have all been sexually empowered.
Hello. The first partner I encountered was very aggressive, obsessed with virginity, and rushed through foreplay and felt entitled to my body. I endured that for almost 3 years. Those 3 years, I never knew what an orgasm was. I had to do it because I wanted to stop him from cheating, which he did anyways. Fast forward to 3 years later, I left that relationship and had an encounter that changed my life for good.
Hey, I became sexually empowered at a young age after losing my virginity and becoming sexually active at that age. That said, sex was always something I knew and my body felt it wanted, and I credit this to the fact that I started innocently exploring my own body at a young age. I basically masturbated by mistake for the first time when I was young, so I always knew how to gauge my pleasure, as it were. But I never enjoyed penetrative sex when it did happen, nor did I completely understand that my pleasure is my responsibility. So mentally, I felt like a sex slave. I also feel like myths and misconceptions around oral sex and around women having a right to satisfy men made my sex life such a bore. I'm still learning my body, but I don't regret the day I decided to embrace that I'm a sexual being. It feels liberating to not have to feel like I have to play the virgin when I'm around society in general. I don't care about my body count, and there's no man under the sun that can sweet talk me into a sex session if I just don't feel like it. I also now understand sexual empowerment to encompass the epiphany-like moment that women realize that sex work is work. My biggest challenge to date is the fact that expressing this view in my society always leads to unprecedented backlash, yet it represents the accuracy of men and women's sexual relations in Zimbabwe.
I want to share. I was masturbating long before I had my first sexual encounter. When I first had sex, the guys were older. I thought I knew very little about my body and they'd teach me something. But the first guy didn't even let me touch his penis during the act. He kept swiping my hand away. A few more sexual encounters down the line, I know the best person to teach a woman about how a woman's body ought to be pleased is the woman. No two women are the same, so be free to say what you like. Male ego is a thing, and so is respectful communication. So the tact is important to not ruin the moment. If he's not ready to receive it, then that says more about him than it does about you. There's plenty of space for sexual pleasure.
Hi there. My first sexual encounter was with a man who my friend had introduced me to, and it was basically good sex and nothing more. I had a boyfriend and I did not want to lose my virginity to him, as I knew he was the type to say, "But I was your first, blah blah blah." First time sex was great and amazing aftercare.
Hey, I want to share my experience. I was the firstborn daughter to a mom that had me while she was in high school, so I was raised to fear men and sex because I'd end up dropping out. Of course, this was sprinkled with religious threats about the holy temple, not to be touched. Needless to say, I didn't have sex till I was convinced I'd first have it with my husband on our honeymoon night. What helped my sexual journey would be that I was able to explore myself sexually, as I was deathly afraid of men. Through self-pleasure, I learned my body needs, and I have no trouble reaching orgasm with or without a partner. By the time I had my first sexual encounter, I was afraid of the all-seeing almighty witnessing my promiscuity outside holy matrimony, so the first few times were horrible. I was able to start vocalizing my needs in bed, and the experience improved tenfold. A few months later, I traveled outside the country for work, and my first same-sex experience. Let's just say I unlocked such a spiritually and physically fulfilling sexual experience that I would do it all over again.
Never enjoyed sex because I hated my body. I couldn't let someone else enjoy me because I was not even enjoying myself.
Hello there. I'm 28 and I've never had an orgasm from sex with a partner. Almost 10 sexual partners later, it took me buying a vibrator to realize how it actually feels. I know for a fact that I'm attracted to men, but they just don't seem to get the memo. And I've never really been in a situation where telling a man my sexual needs did not turn it into either them being deeply offended and making it about themselves, or them slut-shaming me because I know what I like. The journey continues, I guess.
Hey, Tina. Raped at different intervals in life really gives you a fucked up way of seeing sex. I started using it as a coping mechanism, like a drug or an escape. I did my best to heal and found that I don't need it as much. I did even more healing and my libido increased. The things I thought I didn't enjoy when I was younger and because of trauma, I found actually make me calm quicker when I allow myself to just be in the moment, like fingering. You've got to set yourself free. It's not easy, but you've got to try because god damn it, it's liberating and feels pretty amazing too, if you know what I mean.
Hi Tina. I've not had sex before and that was because of my religious upbringing. Now that I'm not religious anymore, I've thought more fully towards sex and I'm kind of thinking I may be asexual or somewhere in that spectrum because it's not really a big deal to me. And even when I do feel a teensy-weensy bit of feelings, it's not enough to have sex over. I'm yet to have sex, but sometimes it feels like I won't. I don't think it's that important, but if anything changes, I'll definitely let you know. I'm also bisexual, so I do feel sexual attraction to both genders, but it seems not enough to throw it back.
Hello. Taking back my sex life was just learning to masturbate without shame for me. I enjoy it and I always have, and I wish we talked about that more as normal instead of a placeholder for when a partner isn't there. Sometimes I just want me.
For me, I don't enjoy it. Men who I had sex with ruined sex for me. Women bring me pleasure, but I'm not lesbian.
Hi Tina. I became more sexually empowered by moving away from the Christian dogma about sex before marriage being bad, being a sin, as it formed such a large part of my upbringing. Coming to terms with being queer and wholeheartedly embracing that aspect of myself, and having an amazing queer community around me, also helped with feeling sexually empowered. Having friends with benefits is also something that empowered me sexually, because it allowed me the space to completely explore my sexuality where it was consensual. There was rapport and there was respect, but there wasn't that emotional responsibility that you often feel with a partner, where you might be scared to ask for certain things sexually for fear of how your partner might feel or perceive you. Initially, I did not enjoy sex because it was hard to let go of my Christianity, and it's something that is still there. But now, I have the ability to counter that with other narratives. Having open conversations about sex with sexual partners and being able to play with power dynamics in the bedroom beyond the one set out by the patriarchal heteronormative system in which we live in has allowed me to enjoy sex so much more.
Hello. The first partner I encountered was very aggressive, obsessed with virginity, and rushed through foreplay and felt entitled to my body. I endured that for almost 3 years. Those 3 years, I never knew what an orgasm was. I had to do it because I wanted to stop him from cheating, which he did anyways. Fast forward to 3 years later, I left that relationship and had an encounter that changed my life for good. Never ever accepting below power rounds again in my life.
Vibrators. Nothing is more fulfilling than climaxing. And now, the men I date don't mind adding my electric buddy to the mix. It's more explosive and satisfying for both men and women.
Hey, I have one. I never really enjoyed sex before moving abroad. My partners would take so much time to woo me to get me to hook up with them. And when I do agree, the energy was completely different. They only cared about their pleasure, and I left most situations regretting saying yes in the first place. Now that I've moved to a different country, I am realizing I should have demanded more effort from my partners. I am meeting people who genuinely care if I'm enjoying it as much as they are, and I've discovered I like being dominant, which is something I would have never found out if I was back in my country because the act of sex itself was considered shameful.
Here's my experience. I didn't enjoy it at first because I was ashamed to be having sex in the first place. Becoming aware of my autonomy made me more confident during sex because I started to speak up about what I liked and what I didn't like. I enjoy sex now, but it took a long time to get here. I really wish African girls didn't grow up being vilified for having sexual desires, yet the boys were being praised for it. It took long for me to come into my body, and I realized that I do have valid sexual desires and needs, and that I don't need to be ashamed of these. It's another reason why African men actually think women can't enjoy sex.
So, I didn't enjoy sex initially because my first time wasn't that great and it felt like a man's thing, like when he's done, we're done type of vibe. And that followed me for a while because it was just like sex is a duty situation. Crazy! Because I'm young and unmarried, so duty to who? For what? Anyway, my relationship with sex started to improve when I realized that I also have to get something out of the process and also started to express that to my partners. So also prioritizing my enjoyment has been so helpful in getting me to enjoy sex and also a partner who cares that I actually finish too, which is not something that I had previously experienced. Also, self-liberation and getting to understand what I like more and not feeling ashamed to voice that.
Well. I'm clapping because all of these are like stories of triumph. So I love that for you guys. Thank you for sharing these things. You know what? Like something that is off note that I'm seeing in these submissions that we've also, I think, spoken about with another guest on here is the backlash that comes with like your sexual empowerment. And if you are, you know, sleeping with someone and you ask them like, hey, can you do this and this and that, and they take so much offense and they start calling you a hoe, etc. I just think those are not the kinds of people that we need to be sleeping with at all. That's how I feel. But ultimately, of course, the patriarchy is gonna clap back because they like things how they are. But anyway, that has been this episode. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. I just want to say thank you so much for shout out to our narrators. Woo! And yeah, thank you guys for your time and thank you for these submissions again. I did mention that like as I'm uploading these, I'm not going to be providing any extensive commentary on this because these are your stories, so there's really nothing that anyone can say about it because it is what it is. So thank you for sharing these. I'm going to catch you on the next one, which is also such a goodie. And of course, it's about sex. So I know you guys will love that. Okay, that is a wrap on this episode. And thank you so much for joining me.